So if you had to walk into my mother's house, every vertical surface and a number of the horizontal ones too are littered with family photos that embarrass us all. When Colette first met me and I invited her to come, I was staying at home, invited her to come to what was the old family home, we were still in that stage, and she walked in and every kind of the whole kitchen was pasted, wallpapered with family photos that were very embarrassing. And glad she came back the next time. And then my mother has now moved into the retirement home, and now it's just my mom. And she moved into a cottage with my brother and sister-in-law. And still, although the rooms have got smaller and the walls have got less, I don't think the pictures have got any less. My sister-in-law has tried her hardest to edit, but they keep coming back. You can look, all of them. You can see me. I was in high school in the 80s. You can see me with my 80s haircuts. You can see me in primary school wear. You can see me when I was smartly dressed at our wedding. You can see me when I was a proud dad holding these brand new children. And you can see these kids as grown up adults now. And my mother keeps saying, oh, particularly with Ty, he's so tall and Jamie is so pretty. And almost like she's just met them for the first time over and over. Now, you would look at a photo of me as a primary school kid, it's me. You look at me with my bleached blonde hairdo in high school, it's still me. You would see me with my, I always want to say, in my wedding suit, but I've got married in jeans. And my colleague was wearing tackies. It was cool those days. It's still me. You see me with a proud first-time parent. It's me. Each one of those, some of them a little bit better, more presentable than others. Each of them, it's me. Sometimes my mom forgets and I can get carried away with the illustration. But just as each one of those, I've looked at them to the other one. It's still me. They represent the same person. And when we talk about how the Holy Spirit wants to empower us, the Bible helps us by giving us different snapshots of who the Holy Spirit is. And so when we began our Holy Spirit Empowered series, we spoke about the fact that some of the symbols, the snapshots that the Bible uses is that of wind, which means he's sovereign and powerful, but also that of fire, which is refining and destroying. He's like water, which is cleansing and sustaining. He's also like oil, anointing and healing. And they say oil and water don't mix. But it shows you different facets of who he is. This is an illustration of a dove, peace and gentleness. And our dove and fire are very different, right? Very different, but they help us to understand different facets, different sides to his personality. We said also that he has different names. The Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of wisdom. We spoke about his nature. We said that while he isn't a person, he has a personality, which is helpful for me because I have a personality. Some of our personalities are bigger than others, but like a person, we can understand how we interact with him. He has a personality, and the Bible says he can be grieved. He can be lied to. He can be resisted, but he also wants to lead us, to teach us, and to fellowship with us. And as we work through the series, we're hoping that the understanding of the Holy Spirit will pull us and make us strong and confident in who he is. We'll speak about baptism and the Holy Spirit. We'll speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm trusting that each one of us would become more familiar, more, I suppose, familiar as the full time people again. And more having a closer understanding, walking closer with the Holy Spirit day by day. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said to them that they needed to wait. He said, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, I love that, he was just hanging out around the table, and he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't you love the fact that there's no criteria given other than wait? You notice that? He doesn't say, if you have prayed a minimum of X number of hours in this week, then you can get into that room and wait there. He doesn't say, if you've ticked all the boxes, if you've been a good boy. It's not Santa Claus, Father Christmas with his naughty and nice list. It's so cool. All he says, the only criteria is that don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Yeah, I don't think we're good at waiting anymore as a culture. Have you ever stood in a queue or sat in a place and you sit down and your phone comes up? Something to occupy my mind. In the olden days, they would just sit. They probably think. Now, maybe we medicate our thinking with all these other distractions. Yeah? And Jesus says to them, just wait. Another cool thing is, I don't have to qualify to be a waiter. I just have to. It's like you're waiting for me to say the next thing. So simple. Not one of you qualified to wait for me to say something, right? We just came. Just have to wait. And he goes on to say, what are you waiting for? He says, you're waiting for a gift that my Father has promised. We know that God can't lie. So if it's a promised gift, it's coming. You know the special thing about a gift? I don't have to do anything to get the gift. The benefit payment. Benefit and reward for services rendered. A gift is a gift. Again, it's not free. All I have to do is take it from you. My friend Piet says, a gift isn't a gift unless it's given. But it's not a gift either unless it's received. And all we have to do is put our hand up and say, thank you very much. Yeah. From the Father. He doesn't give bad gifts. Bible says if you ask your father for a piece of bread, he won't give you a snake, etc. He says, you who are evil know how to give good gifts. How much more my Father in heaven will give you the Holy Spirit? And then he goes on to say, for John baptized with water, but in a few days he will be baptized. You notice? I really think it. You will. Not man. Not chances are. Not there's a good probability. There's no qualifying language. You will. Anyone, you will. End of story. Isn't that amazing? It's good news, right? And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, goes on to say, you will receive power. They were asking him about the end of the world. They were asking him about the future. I think South Africans are asking about our future right now, aren't we? Okay? They were asking all about what's to come. And he said, don't worry about that so much. He says, but what you will receive is power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Again, do you notice the language? It's not may, it's will. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes up, which speaks of his presence. And what does it do? He helps us to witness. And again, it's will, not maybe. I wish most Christians read that we will be witnesses. Not when we become Billy Graham. We might become a witness. Yeah? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Remember at the beginning of Luke, we read it last time, the Bible says that Jesus, led by the Spirit of God, went into the desert. Remember, for 40 days and nights, he fasted and he prayed, and the devil came, tempted him. Remember that? Three times, right? But Jesus each time cried with a word of God. Then it says, when he finished that, the devil left him. I mean, isn't it amazing how we all feel the world revolves around me? And you, not you for me, but all of you. Yes? And when the devil tempts us, it's like, the whole world's against me. No one else has it as bad as me. Okay? I mean, the literal devil tempted Jesus. Yeah? It says, when he had finished it, he came back from the wilderness. It says, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went, led by the Spirit, he came back in the power of the Spirit. Yeah? And then it says this, he goes into the temple. And he reads from Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me too. Now, if we're reading that together, we could read what he was anointed to do, preach to proclaim the year, the acceptable year of the years. Bhagavad, let me try that again. To proclaim the acceptable year, you should be helping me out. You know about it. Just testing me. The acceptable year of the faith of the Lord's favor, to proclaim freedom to the captives, release from bondage those who are bound. Yes. I want to ask you, what's your tea? The Spirit of the Lord. So it's the Lord Jesus who did the presence and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. If he did, surely you and I do. The best part is, it's really waiting for us. It's a gift. Yeah? If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to empower him to do the two, can I ask you what your two is? Just what you're talking. What's your two? Is it just to get to the office and back? Yeah, you were born the biggest thing. Is it just to watch your language or to make it to church on a Sunday? You were born for the biggest thing. The Holy Spirit ready to empower us and be our us and presence himself with us. From that, you too can respond like Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the people looked around and said, wow, what's wrong with these people? They're drunk, the believers. And they stand up and they say, no, it's still 9 o'clock. Come on. These people aren't drunk as well. They're full of the Holy Spirit. What am I telling you? What's the point of that passage? What's the point? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, people notice. There's something about you when the cop pulls you over and you're over the limits. They can tell. Come and walk. You guys are laughing at. Do you know this? Maybe you should be going, oh. I don't know, you guys seem fine, but can I just say, you guys over here, those people over there all seem to be very sheepish about this looking alive. Just like when you're over and over, you're intoxicated. Something. So too, when the Holy Spirit is in us, he is not just a bit. All right. So this morning, last week, the last time we spoke about his name, his name is Simba. This morning, I want to talk about how he helps us. So let's read in Romans chapter 8, verse 25. It says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Have you, I'm sure you're just like me, there's some days when we're tempted not to turn up in our devotions. I don't know when you have your devotions, morning, evening, midday. Some days you just, it's hard to lift your head up the pillow, right? Just me, but some of us. Have you ever turned up to do your Christian duty and say, Lord, I'm not feeling it this morning, but I'm doing it because it's a healthy discipline. Yeah? You done it? It's like purpose. It's like pretending. It's like first thing. I'm keeping good. And there's the honest side to say, Lord, I actually have a money to pay. I pay attention to Jesus. I don't know what to say. And I'm so grateful. And Holy Spirit comes from me. Best part, it doesn't stop there. Our Bible tells me that Jesus sent it to the Father. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, doing what? Making intercession for him. Sometimes I just go, turn up. Jesus, I'm tagging you in. Spirit, I'm tagging you in. I'm here, but you're doing the work today. Isn't that cool? Beautiful. Martin Luther wrote a commentary on the book of Romans, and he said, people who do not have the Spirit run away from God's working and do not want to let it happen to them. Thanks, Jonah. None of us have been like him. Oh, you're the bad guy. You haven't read the passage? God calls Jonah to go and witness to a city called Nineveh, and they were terribly against God. And so he says, oh, doesn't want to do it. So what he does is he gets on a train, or he gets on a boat, and goes to the opposite shore. Is that God calls you to Cape Town? You go to Namibia. It's that kind of thing. Okay? And then God puts him in a fish and brings him around the rest of the world. People who do not have the spirit run away from God's work and do not want to let it happen to them. But they want to shape themselves and their own lives. But people who have the spirit are helped by him. Hence, they do not have the spirit. Martin Luther in the 1600s knew a thing or two about understanding the Bible and the Holy Spirit, right? People who have the spirit are helped by him. Hence, they do not have the spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do in us? Let me just back up a little and just say, God is ready. We read the passage that he will help us. Another problem with being helped is that you have to admit you need help. Have you been into those shops? You know, you walk like you put one toe over the threshold of the shop and there's 13 salespeople saying, can we help you, sir? You're like, oh, just like 5 minutes. I'm not sure if I've got the money to spend. I'm like, it's like easy, man. But that's why I'm out in the shop yesterday. Let's shop it like if you go shop, I'm sure you could find anything. And like we walked in the shop and we're looking around, this guy came and helped us. And he was like, it was almost like they're standing in a way that we couldn't see anything else. I don't know if we thought just going to make a pressure sale or what. And eventually, later on, we're like, ah, oh, okay, and then we got so open to say, well, would you mind us just looking at something else now? And we left. We looked at the thing, we asked about it, we got so pressure off. So we thought, okay. Yeah. You can only receive help when you admit that you need help. I'm about to ask, I don't really have a reputation of not taking directions for you well. That's fine, I'll get us there. Again, the ladies are from this. I don't know. You don't ask for help. You don't admit that you actually have a lack. And we can't receive help. So what does the Holy Spirit do in us? Number one, the Holy Spirit gives us power. These days the culture tells us that we need to reclaim our power. We need to get our agency. We need to be able to, you know, be grown up people. Don't you dare undermine me. Don't say that I can't do that. Even if I can't do that. But if you want power, make your comments. It's not in the culture, not in you telling me that, you know, you're here. You can be all the desire to be. Where we find the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive power. We will receive this already. When I say you will receive power. So, what is the Holy Spirit do? He gives us power. And I think, of Shelby, but I think that the Lord is in the business of putting us in places where we are powerless. I wonder how many solar panels and generators and power banks and batteries and all sorts of things South Africa has sold. Okay? Yeah. When you talk to farmers, people are going to tell me that thank you about load shedding. They're like, what even is that? Like, that's a what? And you have it how often? And yeah, as South Africans, we know about being powerless. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. If you're feeling powerless, that's the Holy Spirit to help. Number two, the Holy Spirit helps us experience God's love. Helps us experience God's love. Romans 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, just the language. Sometimes we just need to read the Bible the way it's written. Most times. God's love has been poured into our hearts. We all know that God is love, right? Even Lewis Hamilton knows that. He put it on his neck. Because how does God's love make an effect on me? It tells us it through the Holy Spirit. It's like you can have the love of God, but it seems like it doesn't actually change us unless the Holy Spirit's involved. We can also, oh, Jesus is a loving God. But it affects me when I know that through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, you take us stronger languages. It's a friend that you're feeling unloved. I would suggest we all go through that once in a while. If you're feeling unloved, Maybe it's not that it's for you. Maybe it's because I heard it. I need you. Because you're the one through the Holy Spirit that helps me understand the love of God. Maybe it's not a love problem, it's a Holy Spirit problem. And the problem is of your heart. And so whenever I'm feeling like I'm unloved or that God has forgotten about me, no one, everyone's overlooked me. Maybe my brother has loved me or my neighbor has loved me. It's the Holy Spirit. You clearly have a love. I need you to help me to understand the love of God. Number three, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. I've spoken about that already. And sometimes it's like, it's hard just to sit there in the Lord's presence or stand in the walk or whatever you do. I don't know what to pray. Have you ever come to a tea junction in your life? Have you ever come to like, you're in a panari because you just don't know where else to go with this thing? Hey? For the English people, we're in a pickle. And I don't know how panari in a pickle. Hey? Sometimes you've got too many options. You don't know which one to choose. Sometimes it feels like you've got no options and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. You just don't know where to go. You've got such good news for us. The Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray when you don't know what to pray. Sometimes this thing is such a mess, it gives you a headache just to think about it, right? You think, Lord, how, where, what's the way, how on earth, God, do we ever see this resolved? Well, I think, Holy Spirit, please help me. I don't know what to pray. I don't know, up or down. Hey? Friends, I hope we're praying for our country. 6 or 7 weeks to go, right? Just around the corner. My goodness, I'm confused. Are you? Well, it's fine. We'll just tell you how to vote and you don't have to be confused. Well, that's the last thing that we'll do at this time. Yeah? You follow the Lord's Spirit. I think there are 52 parties. That list is going to get so long. Okay? Right, Lord, which one? Which is the best future for us, for our country? How do you put it? Oh, I'm so glad. I just got lost in today. You look at those things. Yeah? Anyway, he helps us in our weaknesses. We've got to admit that we have a weakness, to be honest. And we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Number four, the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Christ has said. Okay? I wonder how long you've been reading the Bible for. I've got good news for you. In 10 years' time, we'll go for it. Have you ever felt, oh Lord, you don't feel confident with the Bible? Like someone, if someone going to ask me, you think, well, I'd like to start leading a life group, but if someone asks me a question, I don't know if I know what to tell them. Right? Just give them the Bible and say, yeah, this is fine. You know where it is, don't you? Man, I'm so grateful. The Holy Spirit reminds us of it. We're all growing with the Lord. Give me one day, 1 week. 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, we're growing in Christ. We're no more than we are now, hopefully. That's us design. But when we feel like we don't know enough, oh man, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. That's why it's important to you not just me, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. You might not even read it, but you remember Granny once when I was 3 at Christmas on that day mentioned something. And what the Holy Spirit is avoiding. Don't worry. How do I respond to my boss? How do I respond to the traffic? How do I respond to my family that's looking to me for answers? Oh, I need that actually. Because you can remind me stuff that I heard like so long ago. Or yesterday. And all of a sudden it's like, what's going on? Now, thanks. Number five, the Holy Spirit helps Christians obey the Word of God. Have you ever found it difficult to obey what you know you're supposed to obey? Have you ever read it in the Bible and go, oh, now I've seen it. Once I've seen it, I have a problem, because if I don't do it, then I'm being disobedient. I wish maybe the solution is not to read our Bibles. Then we can say we don't know. We can claim ignorance. You know what? When the cop pulls you over on the side of the road, he says, this is the crime you've committed, whether you know about it or not. No excuse. You're supposed to have this kind of thing on your car. I'm sorry, I didn't know. I'm sorry for you. It's for your time. Yeah? The Holy Spirit helps Christians to obey God's word. Ezekiel tells us, I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart. Man, if one of the pastors here at Chris Cup said that to you, you would be so offended. You could believe me. I give you a tender response of what is beautiful. And I will put my spirit in you. Again, the wills. There's no doubt. And you, so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. How do we follow the Lord faithfully this way? Number six, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The word sanctify means to make us holy, like Him. You heard Tar say, in the first meaning, he said, I'm a saint. Second meaning, he said, I'm an ambassador. Yeah? He makes us holy, like Him. And it says in 2 Thessalonians, it says, when salvation came through the Spirit, who makes you holy through your belief in the truth. It's not about me trying to be a better Christian. It's not about me trying to, you know, kind of out of my sheer willpower, smile at the people that I don't love. It's out of the Holy Spirit working in us. The Holy Spirit, number seven, gives us self-control. I want to take a couple of minutes, and you can stand here in front of me, please. In front of them, next to me, somewhere. Just to stand somewhere. The other beautiful thing is Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. I always like when people say the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we all somehow think those are our characteristics. I need to be more gentle. I need to be more patient. Both human beings have said, I need to be more patient. Right? So what's the deal? Should we have a course on how to be patient? Should we, I don't know, have all sorts of readings and help? I need to be more patient. I need to be more good. I need to be kinder. Well, whose good is it? People see in you, oh man, I see the fruit of gentleness. It's beautiful. But no, it's not my fruit. Yeah? So if Andy and I go shopping, not the one that's in the If Andy and I go shopping and I'm broke, that's what's up. I like that one. Hey? I'm broke. And Andy's got a debit card, not just debit card. A debit card, and he's got limitless resources. And he says to me, hey, can I just go shopping? I'm like, no, I'm embarrassed. I've done financial peace university. I haven't got budget to go shopping today. And he says, no problem. I've got you. So off we go shopping. And he says to me, oh, what did you do? I'm like, yeah, what did you do? He's like, So I'm like, okay, let's maybe the middle of it. This is what we've got. Hey, I just don't become a computer. Have I become a tech? Well, I've got stuff. But I develop any capacity, any financial capacity. That's it. But man, I've got the, I was going to say, I've got the shoes, because it would have been shoes over and over and over again. Right? And so now we're starting to, I'm like, hey, this works. And so Andy says, hey, let's go to the next shop. More expensive shop. I remember in Paris one year, we were there as a family, and the kids had a whole lot younger. We went into the Gucci store, the standalone Gucci store. Man, we felt like, country bumpkins. We walked in, and they looked at us, and then they looked away. They didn't even worry about us. And so Andy takes me, says, oh, let's, oh, come on, let's go now. And everywhere we go, he just laughs. I've done hungry, the whole country's bumpkins, right? Did I get that stuff? No, it was because this one was around me. It was his fruit that I'm getting. How cool is that? Simply because I'm hanging around with Andy, I've got a whole bunch of stuff. Isn't that amazing? No, I haven't got any more. Like, I didn't have any more, but I've received all of it. The same deal, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Craig. It does not say my name on the Bible. Maybe you've got a biblical name, but not in this church. Doesn't say your name there. It says the fruit of the Spirit. You get more Spirit, you get more fruit. I stand closer to this guy, I get more shoes. I'm telling you, it's how it works. Yeah, if he's stopping that the real be cool, which would be amazing. But you see, the closer I am to the one who has the resource, the more I enjoy the resource. Make sense? The Holy Spirit makes us, number eight, makes us more like Christ. I think that's where we are. Makes us more like Christ. Number nine, I'm finishing quick. The Holy Spirit fills you with hope. to overflow. In this life, there's lots of reasons to use that. Romans 15, may the God of notice who's going to visit. Maybe Lewis is going to put on the other side of his neck. God is love, God is love. Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the Father and by the Holy Spirit. The last one, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. We say, oh, Jesus, I feel so limited. I feel so inept. I wish I could serve you more. I just don't know what to do. Come see the Holy Spirit. Because he will give us gifts with which we can serve him. Isn't that cool? Sometimes you just feel like, have you got nothing to offer? Have you? Well, someone needs to do something. Man, if I get close to the Spirit, he will give me one to serve him and the people around. The Spirit, as an enlightening Spirit, teaches us what to pray for. As a sanctifying Spirit, he works and stirs us to pray. As a comforting Spirit, he silences our fears and helps us over all our discouragements. John Piper said this. He said, trust him that because he is praying for you, your Father will bring about decisions and circumstances for you that will magnify Christ in the very best way. Will you stand with me? According to the Bible, all we have to do is wait. It's the only qualification there is. We need to be born again. We need to simply wait. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Just as we finish, would you close your eyes? Maybe you can just remind yourself of the fact that I'm thirsty. And actually, there is a desire in me. A need that must be filled. The beautiful thing is that when Jesus quoted that Old Testament passage with fulfilling it in their midst, it wasn't like, if you're thirsty, I'll hook you up, and then you don't have to be thirsty. That's what the woman at the well thought. He says, if you drink of it, from inside of you are like fountains, rivers of living water that then can flow to other people. It's not a selfish thing. So Jesus, as we wait just for a moment, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one. We thank you like this. We admit today that we're thirsty for you. We wait on you. And then Lord, that you will not just flow into us, but you will flow out of us as well. And to the people that are around us in various ways, that they would see that these people are full of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.